Hare Krishna. So we have been reading from the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So today we'll be discussing the last verse of this 13th chapter. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kshetra 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 Gayorevam. Antaram Jnana Chakshusha. Bhuta Prakriti Moksham Cha. Ye Viduryanti Mete Param. Kshetra Kshetra Gayorevam. Antaram Jnana Chakshusha. Bhuta Prakriti Moksham Cha. Ye Viduryanti Te Param. Kshetra Kshetra Gayorevam. Antaram Jnana Chakshusha. Bhuta Prakriti Moksham Cha. Ye Viduryanti Te Param. Kshetra of the body. Kshetra Gayoho. Or the proprietor of the body. Evam. Thus. Antaram. The difference. Jnana Chakshusha. By the vision of knowledge. Bhuta, of the living entity, Prakriti, from material nature, Moksham, the liberation, Cha, also, Ye, those who, Viduhu, know, Yanti, approach, Te, they, Param, the Supreme. Translation purport, Bhashta Prabhupada. Those who see with eyes of knowledge, the difference between the body and the knower of the body, and can also understand the process of liberation from bondage in material nature, attain to the spiritual goal. Kindly repeat. Those who see with eyes of knowledge the difference between the body and the knower of the body can also understand the process of liberation from bondage in material nature, attain to the supreme goal. Purport. The purport of this 13th chapter is that one should know the distinction between the body, the owner of the body, and the super soul. One should recognize the process of liberation as described in verses 8 through 12. Then one can go on to the supreme destination. A faithful person should at first have some good association to hear of God and thus gradually become enlightened. If one accepts a spiritual master, one can learn to distinguish between matter and spirit, and that becomes the stepping stone for further spiritual realization. A spiritual master, by various instructions, teaches his students to get free from the material concept of life. For instance, in Bhagavad Gita, we find Krishna instructing Arjuna to free him from materialistic considerations. One can understand that the body is matter. It can be analyzed with its 24 elements. The body is a gross manifestation, and the subtle manifestation is the mind and the psychological effects. The symptoms of life are the interaction of these features. But over and above this, there is the soul, and there is also the super soul. The soul and the super soul are two. This material world is working by the conjunction of the soul and the 24 material elements. One who can see the constitution of the whole material manifestation as a combination of the soul and material elements can also see the situation of the supreme soul, becomes eligible for transfer to the spiritual world. These things are meant for contemplation and for realization, and one should have a complete understanding of this chapter with the help of the spiritual master. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 13th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of nature, the enjoyer and consciousness. ओम ज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकया चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं। वंदेहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुत पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगन रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगनललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश। हे कृष्णकरुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुति देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वांछकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिविदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पार्षद देश तारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। So today is the last verse of the 13th chapter. Some of you, how many of you have been coming every day to this Bhagavad Gita class? Some of you, I think, are coming every day to this class. Yeah. So you must have heard all the verses of the 13th chapter. Actually, one of the little technical and difficult chapters of Bhagavad Gita, you can say. Right? It's more to deal with, you can say, Sankhya. Right? Or the analytical study of matter and soul, right? So little complex chapter, but nonetheless is important chapter. Like every chapter in Bhagavad Gita is very important. So here, two things are explained. Actually, three things. If you see the entire chapter, so Krishna is again and again saying that there are three things: kshetra and kshetragya. Actually, kshetragya are of two types. That means this is the body, the kshetra, then there is the soul, and there is super soul. Right? Three things: the body, soul, and super soul. So this soul is kshetragya, that is knower of this field. Kshetra means field. So this body is a field. That means we do different activities using this body, the soul, and the soul is the knower of that field, right? He is a proprietor of that field in one sense, you can say. So kshetragya. But there is another absolute kshetragya. The soul is temporary, just like this house, right? So one may be a tenant in this house for some time, but he is not the permanent owner. The permanent owner is the actual landlord, but he is leasing that house for some time, just like that. So all the bodies, so there is a temporary owner of the body, the kshetragya, right? But there is absolute kshetragya also, who is Krishna. He is present as the super soul in each and every body. So this kshetragya, we know only our body, but I don't know what's happening in your body, right? But super soul, he knows what is happening in each and every body. Not only human beings, but ants, plants, animals. Imagine, each and every body in this creation, in every body, super soul is present, along with the soul. So he is the superior kshetragya, you can say. He, Krishna, is saying, I know about each and every field. But we, the soul, we know only about one particular kshetra. So the essence of this entire chapter is to understand these three elements: the body, soul, and super soul. Or in other words, we can also say Prakriti, Purusha, and Ishvara, Krishna. Right? So we can say that this is the entire Prakriti, material nature, and we the living entities, we are trying to enjoy this material world, and then there is Krishna, who is owner of both material energy and the spiritual energy, right? So this is very important. This is also, we can say, sambandha gyan, right? The yun bhakti, there are three things: sambandha, avideya, and prayojan. So why this is stressed so much? Because this makes our understanding of sambandha very clear, right? Otherwise, generally we are attached to this body only. We are always in the bodily conception. So if somebody can understand this chapter clearly, or this whole Sankhya philosophy, like you know in third canto also, Kapil Dev instructs this philosophy to Mother Devahuti about the 24 elements. Right? So the purpose is, if you understand that properly, then you'll become detached from this body. That's the purpose. Okay? We can very clearly distinguish that I am not this body. So therefore Prabhupada is using two words, that this chapter is meant for contemplation and realization. So therefore this requires a lot of contemplation. We may read once, we may not understand. But we have to read again and again, contemplate on this, and then gradual realization will come. And once we can realize this, then we'll be completely detached from this material world. Because right now what is happening, we are trying to enjoy. How are we enjoying? We are enjoying through our senses. So we identify ourselves with the body. We think that, oh, I am eating something nice, I am tasting something good. But actually in reality, all these are being done by the senses. I have nothing to do with this world. So this understanding will come. That I am falsely identifying myself with the body. Therefore I am trying to eat nice things, therefore I am trying to enjoy with women, therefore I am trying to, you know, whatever sense ratification we are doing. So once we are clear about this philosophy, we can understand that this body has nothing to do with me. Right? I am different from this body. This body is consisting of how many elements? 24 elements. What are they? Yeah, so the five basic elements is the Panchabhuta, that is from which everything is made up of, that is earth, water, fire, air and ether. Now please understand that this earth doesn't mean this physical earth that we are saying, mud, no. It's a concept. Right? In Sankhya philosophy in third canto, it's clearly mentioned, earth is that which carries the information of smell, that's earth. Right? It's a very, very deep philosophy. When we say fire, so fire doesn't mean that only the burning fire, no. Even the electromagnetic waves are fire, right? Which carries form. So we have television, how do you see form? Because the waves are carrying form. So electromagnetic waves are also part of fire. When you talk of water, water is something that carries taste. So water doesn't mean only this water. So that means according to Sankhya philosophy, this whole world, material world, is only these five elements. Like in modern chemistry, we have so many elements, right? The periodic table, every other increasing, like 106, 108 elements. How many elements are there latest? Whatever. Starting from hydrogen, helium, this, that. But this is not the Vedic understanding. According to Vedic Sankhya, there are only five kinds of basic elements. That is, earth, water, fire, air and ether. So this again, deep topic in itself. Even I don't know this properly. But there are some nice devotees who have done a lot of research into this Sankhya philosophy, and probably if you have interest, you can also go in deep in this. So this is a very, very deep philosophy. So these are the five gross elements, right? And then we have three subtle elements. What are they? Mind, intelligence and false ego. 5 plus 3, 8, right? And then we have five working senses and five knowledge acquiring senses. That means we have eyes. So we have eyes which takes the okay. So five knowledge acquiring senses, five working senses. Knowledge acquiring senses are like eyes, ears, skin, like that, right? Tongue and nose. And working senses are hands, legs, mouth, and genitals and rectum. And then there are five what? The objects of senses. Like smell, touch, taste, sound, form. So these are five vishayas. So how many we have? Five working senses, five knowledge acquiring senses, 10. Five basic elements, earth, water, air, fire, 10 plus 5, 15. Then five objects of senses. How much it has become now? 20. Then three subtle elements, mind, intelligence, false ego. And the 24th is, I'll just, Prabhupada actually tells this, he gives a count. This 24th actually in different places, different things are mentioned about this 24. So let's see what Srila Prabhupada says in this chapter only. I'll just find out that verse. Yes. So in the 6th to 7th verse, you can see Srila Prabhupada is saying, that I think the mic is working. Okay, fine. So the five great elements, that is Mahabhuta, Pancha Mahabhuta, then false ego intelligence, and okay, this is the 24th is actually Mahat Tattva, or we can say Pradhan, that is the unmanifested state of the three modes. Okay, the 24th element is actually Mahat Tattva, that is the unmanifested state of the three modes of nature, or you can say Pradhan. So these are the 24 elements, right? Prabhupada is saying, if one makes an analytical study of these 24 elements, then he can very well understand the field of activity. Then there are desire, hatred, happiness, distress, which are interactions, representations of the five great elements in the gross body. The living symptoms represented by consciousness and conviction are the manifestations of the subtle body, mind, ego, intelligence. These subtle elements are included within the field of activity. So when you say body, body includes the mind, intelligence, false ego, and all these other elements. Right? The five gross elements are a gross representation of the false ego, which in turn represents the primal stage of false ego, technically called the material conception or tamasa buddhi, intelligence in ignorance. This further represents the unmanifested state of the three modes of material nature. The unmanifested mode of material nature are called pradhan. One who desires to know the 24 elements in detail along with their interactions should study the philosophy in more detail. Right? In Bhagavad Gita, a summary only is given. As I told you, more detail, where can you find? Third canto, 26th chapter. You can find details about all this when Devahuti is instructing Kapiladev. The body is the representation of all these factors, and there are changes of the body which are six in number. The body is born, it grows, it stays, it produces byproducts, then it begins to decay, and at last it vanquishes. Therefore, the field is a non-permanent material thing. However, the Kshetrajna, the owner of the field, its proprietor is different. Okay, so this is a very, very deep subject matter. So Pradhan basically means what happens. You see, when this creation takes place, you know that this cycle of creation and destruction. So once the entire lifetime of Brahma is completed, what happens? The entire universe is unmanifested. So where it vanishes? It stays in a stage called Pradhan, that is unmanifested matter. That means the energy is there, matter is there, but it's not visible. Right? It has no differentiation, no form, no taste. It's all become one, unmanifested. That's called Pradhan. And that is agitated. When again Lord glances on Pradhan, the living entities, so by the desires of living entities, this Pradhan gets agitated. Then it forms Mahat Tattva, and then all these elements, they rise one way. If you see the Bhagavatam, sound comes first, then from sound comes ether, then from ether comes form, then from form comes like that, you know, touch, then air. So all these 24 elements, one after another, they are created from this Pradhan. Right? So that means the root cause of this entire existence is what? Huh? Yeah, but Pradhan, but why? Why Pradhan again agitates and...
Because of our
desires. Yes, because of the desires of the living entities. Very good. So this is the root cause. This whole material world is made for only one purpose. Because we want to desire, we have the desire to enjoy separate from Krishna. We have a desire to enjoy this material world, and therefore, this facility has been given to us. Okay, you try and enjoy. The problem is that no matter how much hard we try to enjoy, we cannot enjoy. Because by nature, the soul is different from matter. That's the basic problem. So therefore, no matter how hard we try, whatever we do, the soul can never be happy. Srila Prabhupada gave such a simple example. Sometimes, you know, we feel that Srila Prabhupada's examples or lectures are very simple, but actually they are very, very deep. Prabhupada gives the example of fish out of water. Such a nice example. That the moment you take fish out of water, no matter whatever you do to the fish can never be happy. You give it nice clothes, nice AC room, whatever, the fish cannot be happy. Simple example. Just like that, the soul, we are part and parcel of Krishna, right? Krishna says here in 15th chapter, Mamai Vansha Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana manasasthani indriyani prakriti sthani karshet. So we are Krishna's part and parcel, but being separate from him, we are suffering this material world and we are trying to enjoy. We are struggling. Krishna is saying we are struggling hard with manasasthani, the six senses. So we have taken, it's not that Krishna is happy to put us in this trap. No, we wanted to enjoy in this material world, and therefore Krishna has given us this facility. So again, it's Krishna's kindness, because Krishna is such a loving God. He doesn't force us to be in the spiritual world. No. Okay, you want to enjoy, try and enjoy. So he's giving us so much facility. He has given us all the senses. Imagine, you know, if you didn't have any senses, can you enjoy? Imagine we had no eyes, imagine we had no nose, no ears, no tongue. What will we do? How will we enjoy? We cannot. So therefore Krishna has given this facility to enjoy, but at the same time he has given us this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, so that intelligent person will use the same senses to liberate himself. That's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. You see, there are two basic different paths, like the path of Jnana, Yoga and Bhakti. Three, we can say many karma like that. So in paths like Jnana and Sankhya, what they do, you just keep on analyzing things and then you detach yourselves. You don't do action. You say neti neti, no, I am not this, I am not this, I will not look at good things, I will not eat good things, the soul is different from matter. That's a good process, but that's very difficult. Can we follow that? It's very, very difficult to follow. But the beauty of bhakti is that we are using the same senses to deliver us. How? By eyes we are having, trying to have darshan of Krishna. Through tongue we can taste nice prasad offered to Krishna, right? Through hands, working senses, we can serve Krishna. So in this way, we are using the same senses to liberate ourselves. Using the same material energy, we are Krishnaizing that. We are using in Krishna's service. That's the beauty. Right? So instead of negating this world, or instead of negating these senses, because it's reality, it's not, it's a fact. Some people say, Brahma Satya Jagat Mithya. No. This material energy is not mithya, but it's temporary. So what we are doing in the process of Krishna consciousness is, we are using the same 24 elements in the service of Krishna, because these all ultimately belong to Krishna. So we are trying to use all these 24 elements in Krishna's service. We are not rejecting them. No, we are using in Krishna's service. But we must understand it. Otherwise what happens? There is a strong tendency of using it for our own enjoyment. Even in the name of Krishna consciousness, many times in the name of Yukta Vairagya, we try to enjoy on our own. At least in my case, many times. So therefore, if you understand this philosophy, they help us to become more detached. It will give us a new vision. Like for example, if you understand, we can easily see that all these living entities, or whether different kind of human beings or animals, we can clearly see that the soul is different from that external appearance. A person may look beautiful, a person may look ugly, a person may be rich or poor. This is all based on this body, this 24 element. But the soul has nothing to do with this. So this will give us a vision of equanimity. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihastini Suni Cheva Supakecha Pandita Samadarshina. The Samadarshi, how do you become Samadarshi? When we have this knowledge, which Krishna is saying, then we can have that vision. Okay, so this is Kshetra, but the Kshetra is different from the Kshetra, right? Immediately our vision changes. Otherwise what happens normally? We just judge a person based on his external appearance. Oh, he is a beautiful person, he is a rich person, he is black, he is white, he is African, he is this, that. That's the bodily concept. That's Kshetra, that's not the Kshetrajna. So we can immediately distinguish, right? If we come to this point of understanding. It's not so easy, we have to try. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada in this purport is saying that right, a faithful person should at first have some good association to hear of God and gradually become enlightened. If one accepts a spiritual master, one can learn to distinguish between matter and spirit. The distinction that matter is different from spirit is very, very important. The foundation of spiritual path. And that becomes a stepping stone for further spiritual realization. A spiritual master, by various instructions, teaches his student to get free from the material concept of life. For instance, in Bhagavad Gita, we find Krishna instructing Arjuna to free him from materialistic consideration. One can understand that this body is matter. It can be analyzed with the 24 elements. So this is the whole process of Sankhya, to understand that everything is 24 elements, but there are two more elements beyond these 24 elements. What are they? Soul and super soul. Very good. So that means you see the entire material creation, everything you see, this microphone, this book, this planet Earth, anything you see in this world, any body you see, anything you see, it's all made of these 24 elements. But beyond these 24 elements are two things. What are they? Soul and super soul. This is the whole purpose of this Sankhya philosophy. The whole purpose of 13th chapter is to bring us to this point, understanding that everything in this material world is made of these 24 elements, but beyond these 24 elements are two things, soul and super soul. And mind you, without the presence of these two, the entire 24 elements have no meaning. The moment Krishna withdraws himself, like during annihilation, the moment, because super soul is present actually within each and every atom. That point you must understand. That means super soul is not only present in each and every body as super soul, but is also present in every atom. What is andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham? That means within every paramanu also Govinda Madhu Purusham, Krishna is there in super soul. The moment he withdraws himself, everything collapses. See? This point clear? So therefore, we must understand this point. So once we understand, then what will happen is, first of all, we will get some detachment, and also we can then be more convinced about performing the process of devotional service. Because otherwise, devotional service, what's the difference? You see, there are many other so-called, you know, Bhagavad Kathakars and other people in India who are preaching this bhakti, so-called, you know, they also teach. But what's the difference between Srila Prabhupada's teaching? That this is our teaching of when we practice bhakti is based on this foundation, like Srila Prabhupada is saying. Distinction between matter and spirit becomes stepping stone for further spiritual realization. So no other place, the other so-called, when they speak Bhagavad Katha and they teach bhakti, they never talk about matter and spirit. They don't talk the philosophy of Gita in detail. They don't talk of third canto. They straight away talk of Krishna's pastime, which is also okay, good, not bad. But then what happens? People, they also think that Krishna's pastimes are material. They don't develop this vision that no, Krishna's pastimes are completely on the spiritual platform. Because for them, everything is matter. They don't know what is matter and what is spirit. So therefore, this is the foundation. Therefore, you see Srila Prabhupada's lecture again and again, his lecture, his books. Why is emphasizing so much on this point of matter and spirit? Because that is the foundation. Without that, whatever we go higher, we cannot advance further in Krishna consciousness. Then everything we'll see from material vision only. Right? So this is our great fortune that by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we are getting this knowledge in such a systematic manner. So we must take advantage, read it. And again, Prabhupada is emphasizing that learn it under the guidance of the spiritual master. Right? And once we can do that, right, Prabhupada is saying, one who can see the constitution of the whole material manifestation as a combination of the soul and the material elements can also see the situation of super soul becomes eligible for transfer to spiritual world. That means if you can understand that these are the 24 elements, then there is a soul and there is super soul. The moment one has understood it, what happens? He becomes eligible for transfer to spiritual world. That means if you can reverse, we can interpret this statement another way, that unless we can understand these things, we cannot transfer, we are not eligible to transfer to spiritual world. So therefore we must understand this thing. And so that's why Prabhupada is saying these things are meant for contemplation and for realization. And one should have a complete understanding of this chapter with the help of spiritual master. So therefore the help of spiritual master is important under the guidance of our spiritual masters. Right? Senior devotees, when we practice Krishna consciousness, so gradually we get realized. Not at one day. Theoretically we have read this, but not that we have realized it. No. Realization comes by years of practice. When we read and we try to practice what we are reading, we try to practice the instructions given by Srila Prabhupada and the spiritual master, gradually realization comes. And the moment we come to this final realization that we can, that this 24 elements, I am different from it, 24 elements, soul and super soul, then we can, we are eligible to go to spiritual world. I'll just finish, last point, that sometimes the Mayavadis, what they do? They are also understand these 24 elements, they are different, but they mix soul and super soul together. So that is a great mistake. So we should be careful about that. So the so-called Jnanis, there is one danger they have. They also very nicely can analyze and they can understand that, okay, I am different from all these material things, these 24 material elements. But the greatest mistake they would do is, then they equate themselves with super soul. They say that, because of these 24 elements influence, I am thinking I am matter. The moment I am liberated, I will become Brahman, I will become God. So this third thing they don't see. So therefore we always have to emphasize on these three things. What is that? Material nature, 24 elements, soul and super soul. So therefore you see Madhvacharya always gave pravachan like this, Dvaita. Because Advaita means one. So they think soul and super soul is one. And then this 24 element, the thing is illusion. Jagat Mithya. So they think this is all illusion. The moment we realize this, we become one with Brahman, we are all one. That means Brahman is the only truth. Right? It's Buddhist, they think everything is zero. It's arithmetic, 0, 1, 2. So Buddhism means everything is zero, Shunyavad. So they think this all is illusion, this 24 elements illusion, soul illusion, everything is illusion. The moment you get enlightenment, everything becomes zero. That's Buddhism. Voidism, yeah. Voidism, Buddhism, Shunyavadi. That's why Srila Prabhupada. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashat Deshatarine. So Nirvishesh means they think everything is one. Right? That means they think that soul and super soul is one. And these 24 elements are just false temporary creations. This all, once we liberate ourselves from this, we become one with Brahman. And they are called Nirvisheshvadi. And Shunyavadi means everything is zero. But we are what? Yeah, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. So Madhvacharya said two. No. Soul and super soul are different. But Mahaprabhu's philosophy is harmonizing everything. Achintya Bheda Bheda. That means soul is different from super soul. At the same time, we are same also. Because we have the same nature. Like Prabhupada says, like the quality is same, but quantity is different. We are like drop of water. Krishna is like ocean. So therefore, our whole philosophy is Achintya Bheda Bheda. You must understand. Once again, what three things are there? 24 element. This is material nature, soul and super soul. And we must understand the relation between all three. Okay? The five topics of Gita are what? Jiva, Ishvara, Prakriti, Kala and Karma. Right? Have you read the introduction of Bhagavad Gita? You read the introduction of Bhagavad Gita. Very beautifully, Srila Prabhupada explains these five topics. So Ishvara, Prakriti, Kala, Karma and Jiva. Right? So here we are talking of Jiva, Ishvara and Prakriti. So all these three are covered. What two topics are there? Karma and Kala. So these, you know, other chapters deal with that also. So Karma and Kala is what? Karma is just the actions that the living entity is performing. And Kala is that aspect of the Lord who is monitoring everything or pushing everything, right? So basically these three, among these five topics, these three are main. Prakriti, Ishvara and Jiva. So which is covered in this 13th chapter. Therefore it's a very important relation between all three, right? Okay, Hare Krishna. So any questions, any comments? Please ask, feel free to ask any questions, any comments. Yes. Right. Hmm. Good question Maharaj is asking, that how we can become Samadarshi, because they are behaving in different ways. But you may understand that the principle behind that behavior, the actual soul is same, of the same quality. The soul is not polluted. Is that because of the interaction is behaving in that way. It's just like bulb is the same, but we can coat the bulb with different colors, different light will come out. It's not the fault of the bulb, it's the fault of the coating on the bulb. So because of the karma of the jiva, because of some various, it's a very complex thing. Somehow we have got this body, and because of that particular body, he has some desires, he's acting in some way. You see, a person, let's say, is born in a family of mediators. From childhood is in that situation, so we don't hate that person. So that is called samadarshi. We must think that, okay, the soul is basically somehow, due to his some situations, he has put in that position. So that hatred should not be there. Or a snake, you know, that hatred should not be there. That the soul is basically the same. Somehow because of his past karma, he has been put in this snake body. So that is samadarshi. You see that the soul behind each and every body is actually of the same nature. There is no difference. But because of the activities of the soul in the previous life, he has been given a particular type of kshetra, which is a combination of these 24 elements. Clear, Mataji? Thank you. Yes. I think there's some people hearing on FM, so can you use the mic to ask your question? Yes. Yeah. Little close to your mouth, yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
My question is, you mentioned that we should work towards the detachment after understanding the Sankhya philosophy and discussed today about the 13th chapter. We eventually will become, after the complete knowledge attained through this, we will become detached. So my first question is, a person who is detached, how does he conduct himself compared to a person who is not detached? With this world. And the second question is, how does the free will acts as compared to the past karma in achieving the detachment? For example, if I continue to study, if I follow the instructions, will my detachment depend upon my efforts and my free will, or will it depend on my past karma?
Okay, thank you, Prabhu. Nice questions. Two questions. First is, that what's the difference between a person who is detached and attached? So it's very, so many chapters of Bhagavad Gita talks about it. Like second chapter, Krishna is asking Arjuna, Arjuna is asking Krishna the symptoms of a self-realized man. So Krishna explains Sita Pragya, how he talks, what he does. Right? Similarly, 12th chapter talks about different qualities, 15th chapter. So externally the activity may be the same, but his whole consciousness is different. And also there are some external features to look at that. For example, very simple, a businessman is working, two businessmen. One is, there are two classes, as I said, of detached people. One class is they completely reject all activities, like jnanis or so-called vairagis. Right? They have nothing to do with this material world. That you can very easily see. He's not doing any activity, he's leading a very detached life, just wearing a little torn clothes, just eating a little bit. So you can see he's detached. But there can be one category of detached people who may externally be dealing with matter. Like externally he may be a businessman, he may be a student, but he may be detached from within. That's possible only when one is in bhakti, Krishna consciousness. So then what happens? He thinks everything belongs to Krishna. So that's the essence of detachment. That he knows that nothing belongs to me, everything belongs to Krishna, so I am doing this for his pleasure, his satisfaction. So that makes him detached. So then he's not, what are we attached to? We are attached to the result. Oh, let me do this, I'll get this. So that attachment is not there for devotee. That's the basic teaching of Bhagavad Gita, because he offers that fruits to Krishna. So he says, okay, whatever I'm doing for his pleasure. Success or failure doesn't matter. Right? So that's the attachment. Second question, you said, when we are doing something, what's the role of our free will and past karma? Or a present, or I can put your question, a present endeavor and the past karma. So it's a combination of both. Right? So whatever we are getting, it's a combination of a past karma as well as present endeavor. Both have a role to play. So some people say, no, everything is based on past karma, we have no role to play. Then what's the point? At the same time, some say that past karma is not there. No, it's a combination of both. Our endeavor, we can make a change, but our past karma also has a role to play.
Therefore, this question came.
Thank you. Also, I'll just clarify that material things we can't do much actually. So what you're saying, material things are more or less defined by our karma. So what we're doing now will define our material situation in the next life, more or less. Present life also we can do some change, but more or less our past life karma is deciding our present material situation. Our present life karma will determine our next life material situation. But what is in our hand is spiritual activity. That is completely depending on our endeavor. Like many places in scripture is said, like Prahlad Maharaj says, the happiness and distress that we are supposed to get is fixed. Like he says that, does anybody try hard for getting distress? How many of you are trying hard? Let me get distress. We don't try hard, but we get distress on our own. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj says that we will also get happiness on our, it will come on its own, even without our endeavor, what is destined by karma, our past life. Some people are born in the family of Ambanis, you know, or some people, you know, they get, even they do small business, but somehow they get a lot of profit. So that is because of past karma. But he says, this thing is not in our hands, he said, but what we can do is, we can perform Krishna consciousness. That is in our hands. That doesn't depend on karma at all. That's in our hand. How serious we have become, want to become in Krishna consciousness, how much we chant, we read, we serve Krishna, we take association of devotees. So we should, therefore we should put all our endeavor in that direction. But that is fruitful endeavor. And material things, no matter how hard we try, it all depends on our, mostly depends on our karma. Okay? Thank you. Of course, some action we have to do. It's not that we don't do anything, because Prabhupada said that nahi suptasya singhasya, something, this is a shloka, that a lion, tiger also has to work little bit, not that he sleeps and goat will come to his mouth. So materially we have to work, but the result is depending on our past karma. Is this point clear? But spiritual life, nothing is dependent on past karma. Everything is in our hands right now. It's up to us that how much can I chant the holy name attentively. It's up to us how can I put my endeavor to serve Krishna. Okay? Clear? Yes. Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Just like this soul and super soul that we see, soul in everyone.
Right.
So when we see soul in everyone, the nature of the soul is that we should see everyone having Krishna in his heart.
Right.
But then also sometimes the enmity is created.
Yes.
Why this enmity is created? Just like Duryodhana was enmity with the Pandavas.
Right.
So, although Krishna is in his heart also, his heart also, everybody in the heart is there. Then, how this development is there, opportunity of past karma is also there. But, some, where it said that
Pandavas, they did not have any past karma, so what is the nature that making the enmity of this kurukshetra war and other things? Can you explain? See, as you are saying, Pandavas not have past karma, but the Kauravas had, Duryodhan, he had. So because of his past karmas and because of his consciousness, whatever level, he was envious. So he was the one who created all the trouble. Pandavas never thought them as enemy. Dhrishtir Maharaj never considered the Kauravas as his enemy. Even after the whole battle of Mahabharata, he took so much nice care of Dhritarashtra. He never considered Dhritarashtra to be his enemy. He served Dhritarashtra more than his father. So Pandavas never considered, because Pandavas could see that Krishna is present in the heart of everyone. But the Duryodhana could not see that. That's why my battle took place. The problem is that everybody doesn't have that vision to see that each and every person is soul and Paramatma is also residing in everyone's heart. If everybody can see that, then this world will become spiritual world.
Once when you are devotee, you understand, you hear this Bhagavad Gita every day, then you should change your mind. But still, after hearing and listening and after chanting also, we don't have.
You are right, Prabhuji. It takes a little time. Like the first Prabhupada is saying that we have to contemplate and it has to be realized. So realization doesn't happen. It depends on what stage we are. Some may get realization in few years, some may in few months, some may take many lifetimes also. So theoretical understanding is very easy, but as you have rightly said, that practical applying is very, very difficult. It takes some time. So therefore, the more we chant Hare Krishna, we follow properly. So gradually we get realization. Cheto darpan marjanam, when the dirt will be cleared, then we can actually see everyone as living entities, everyone as part and parcel of God. then this enmity will cease. Otherwise, even in community of devotees, we have this enmity feeling also. Right, Prabhuji?
Actually, it's nice. It's a nice point for me that to be able to see the soul and the super soul requires purification or devotion.
Purification, yeah.
That means a person who is not envious. A person, or at least he may have little, sometimes jealousy or sins. But he is reflecting his sins and he is trying to improve. He is not blind, usually his feelings of enmities and things like that. But sometimes a devotee may also, a neophyte devotee may also be overwhelmed by his feelings and so on.
Yes, yes, you are right, because that's when Bhagavatam is mentioned, three categories of devotees, the Kanishta, Madhyama and Uttama. Is it said that, or another chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam in third canto itself, the devotees are categorized based on the modes of material nature. So there are devotees in mode of ignorance, there are devotees in mode of passion, there are devotees in mode of ignorance, and there are devotees who are beyond the three modes. So devotees in mode of ignorance, they have this feeling of enmity, you know, they want to harm others. So those are devotees, they still may be devotees, they may be chanting Hare Krishna, but they are in mode of ignorance. Devotees in mode of passion, they may be chanting Hare Krishna, but they want material enjoyment, they want name, fame, they want followers. Then devotees in mode of goodness, they want liberation. But pure devotees are those who are serving, who are doing an activity only for Krishna's pleasure. So that's a pure devotee. Beyond the three modes. Yeah. Right.
But Anusa was thinking that Krishna is many of the demons were thinking.
Right.
By one case, it said that Krishna is the enemy of the Anusa. Madhanda Puri is praying.
Actually it's Kansari. Krishna's name is, you can say, Kansari means the killer of Kansa. Sometimes this is like in a metaphorical way, sometimes in the poem that verse is mentioned in that way. But doesn't mean that Krishna thought of him as enemy. Because he always thought of Krishna as enemy, so finally Krishna had to kill him for his benefit. So you can say in that sense that enemy term there means the killer of Kansa. Another name of Krishna is Kansari, that means the killer of Kansa.
The killer of Kansa is okay, but enemy of Kansa, you say it's the words are different.
Yeah, it's actually, you have to see in what context that poem, that devotee is praying. Yeah, I am right what you are trying to say. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so we have to sometimes see the context in which the prayer is done. So it's a little like, just like poem, you can say. So, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kansa Dvisha, yeah. Yeah, but he, so in this, this is not so much taken deeply, but you actually, if you, there's no fault in this. Because sometimes we don't see, here it's a prayer, it's not a philosophical discussion. When you talk of philosophy, then you take care of these things deeply. But it's a prayer to the Lord. So here it doesn't, you know, a sentiment is coming out of a devotee. So he doesn't, so he's calling Krishna as the enemy of Kansa. That's, so sorry. Yeah, enemy of Kansa. That's okay. No, that is why it's always said that we should read whenever we have doubts, we should consult seniors. See, even if a new person reads, if he has doubt, he can consult, it will be clarified. It's not such a big doubt. You know? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Shila Prabhupada ki jai. Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming.